Good morning again, everybody. As Chairman Meyer said, I am Tara Hammonds. I am a 1993 graduate from Carolina with a degree in Afro-American Studies. I currently live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where I am the executive director for a youth development nonprofit. We provide tutoring, mentoring, particularly in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, for high school and middle school students. I'm very excited to be here. I want to thank President Dibbert and Chair Myers for asking me to share my Carolina story with you all today. I think, like most of you, when I went back to look at what I wanted to say about why Carolina is so special to me, I realized that my story is, at its essence, a love affair. Girl meets school. Girl falls head over heels with school. School asks girl to move in, and girl does. girl moves in, and they start a whirlwind romance. Girl travels the world with school. Girl experiences things that she never would have imagined experiencing. But alas, the relationship can't last. Girl's parents, after five years, says girl, it's time to move on. So reluctantly, girl does, and is very sad about that. And even after girl has relationships with other schools, some 2, some 3-year relationships, girl still can't, and Jill, you probably appreciate this, get Carolina off her mind. So a few years later, girl returns to Chapel Hill and falls in love with school again and vows to never leave school, which she doesn't, and girl couldn't be happier. So I want to tell you a little bit about my experiences with Carolina before I became a student, while I was here, and since I graduated. I'll call my before time BC, before Carolina. And for me, Carolina is a family affair. I think most people who grew up in North Carolina will understand this, that most households in North Carolina is either a Duke household, NC State household, or Carolina household, and mine was a Carolina household. My parents, both my mother and my father, were huge Carolina fans, and for me, particularly Carolina basketball fans, and for me, Carolina basketball represented, I would say, 3 things before I became a student. One was it was a gender-bending experience for me, because not only did my father and my brother follow Carolina basketball, but my mother and my sister were huge fans. And not just, you know, stereotypically how women are seen to appreciate sports, you know, as in who's playing, what's the score, who won, that kind of thing. But my mother was, she knew the players. She knew offenses. She knew defenses. And she was just really into the game. And that was different than the way I had seen women involved with sports, particularly men's sports. And so I related to Carolina in that way, that it transcended, you know, gender roles. It also gave me a great excuse for getting out of class during the ACC tournament. My high school basketball coach, I ended up playing basketball, again, another huge Carolina fan. She actually came to Carolina every year for Dean Smith coaches clinics, and so she would be here and learn about plays. She would implement those with our team, and so we actually would run Carolina plays, and that'll come up again later in my story. But during the ACC tournament, every Friday during tournament weekend, like, we were in her office watching games during the days, and so, you know, all of us could get out of class to do that. And then last, it was a Carolina basketball for me was a personal boost of confidence. As I mentioned, I played basketball in high school, and our team made it to the state championship 2 years in a row, and we actually won both years. And my junior year, I was the starting point guard, and after the game, we got to hear the radio broadcast. And so before the game started, one of the radio broadcasters was talking about our team and the players and, you know, what our capabilities were, and one of the broadcasters compared me to Kenny Smith, which was like a huge compliment for me. I took that with me as I came to Carolina, thinking, okay, I'm as good as Kenny Smith. That's awesome. So also part of my BC, my before Carolina experience, I actually got to come to Chapel Hill for two nights as part of a Project Uplift program. And I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with that program, but it is run out of the Office of Admissions, and it's a outreach recruitment program for high-achieving high school students, particularly minority or students whose families have never gone to college before, and so it's a recruitment tool, and I got to come here for 2 days. We spent the night in one of the dorms, and then I was, you know, hook, line, sinker, in love with Chapel Hill, and I was like, this is where I want to be. So I move into my at Carolina time, and fortunately I applied to Carolina and got in, which was great because it was the only school I applied to. So I was fortunate to get in, and it's great that I get to give my story today, because tomorrow will mark to the day the 28th anniversary of me coming to Chapel Hill as a student, because I was able to participate in a program. It's called Summer Bridge. And again, I'm not sure if you are familiar with this program, but it's a six-week program for incoming freshmen, all North Carolina students who are from, I think, primarily either, again, first-time college students or students from rural areas within the state, to get them prepared for what life is going to be like as a college student. You take two classes, and they're actual summer school classes that are already, you know, given on campus. And so I was here for 6 weeks. You got to meet students. You lived in, we moved into Stacy Dorm, which is the hottest dorm, I think, on campus, no AC, in the middle of summer, which got really hot. But it was a phenomenal, phenomenal experience. And I got to meet people during that 6 weeks that I'm still, friends with today. I actually met a couple of them last night for dinner. And so it was an amazing opportunity to get settled in school and get your mind right for life as a college student. So I'll go back to basketball. When I got here, I had hurt my knee my senior year, and I want to believe that's why I didn't get recruited to play anywhere else, and not because I couldn't dribble with my left hand, but it was because I was hurt. So when I got here, I actually I tried out for the women's team, but again, my knee was really bad, and so I didn't make the team. But someone had mentioned to me about a manager's program for the men's basketball team, and I was like, they're like, you get front row tickets to every game, and they didn't mention all the work that you have to do. But I was like, that'd be great, I'd love to do that. And so I was a manager for a year, which so when Dean Smith was head coach, and it was a great opportunity for me to just, again, get involved with the team that I loved so much. And I would actually, you know, I'd position myself where I'm right behind Coach Smith every game, and it, I started to realize, like, I don't want to do the manager side. I don't want to get the waters. I don't want to do any of that. I want to watch the game and listen to Coach Smith. And like I said, my high school coach, she taught us all the plays that Carolina was running, and so I knew what was going on, and I'd be like, rebound, you know, talking to the guys on the court. I'd say stuff sometimes before Coach Smith would say stuff, and so I'd be like, okay, yeah, I should probably not do that. But yeah, I mean, that was a highlight for me. And it's funny, because after Coach Smith passed away, Pitt University, they were doing a tribute to Coach Smith, and one of the lead stories in the Sporting News had a photograph from when I was a manager, and so the picture of Coach Smith and Phil Ford with me in the background, which was nice, because when I was a manager, it was almost like I was a celebrity at home, because people would see me every game, because I, again, positioned myself right behind Coach Smith, and so people would say, oh, I saw you on TV at the game, and I'm like, okay, great, and I would have brought it, but I had 1980s hair, and so it's not a very... It was not a very flattering picture. So anyway, that was special to me. I have that picture, and just remember that was a special time for me as a student. Also, one of the other great things about when I was in school at Chapel Hill is I lived in Carmichael Dorm. And when I was a sophomore, I think the dorm had just opened, and one of the features of that dorm was that it was a foreign language house. And it, the school had a program through the foreign language department where every floor, the students were required to speak a different language the whole time that they were, in the dorms. And so I lived in the French house. And it was great because you're supposed to speak French, but then I realized my French wasn't as good as I thought it was, because half the time I was like, I don't understand what people were saying. But it was actually a great experience for me, because it taught me that you know, most of us come from high school, and you're probably, you know, the big fish at school. I mean, you're the smartest and high achieving and always used to doing well. But in that situation, I wasn't the best speaker, and I knew I had weaknesses. And so it forced me to be self-motivated to learn a lot more, so that I could actually take advantage of this really awesome program. And I did that and became a much better French speaker. And I've been able to travel to you know, France. I studied, and one of the things I'll talk about, I did a summer study abroad in Togo, which is a French-speaking country in West Africa. And it just, again, like Caroline, it just gave me an opportunity to learn and grow, but again, having to do that through my own personal initiative, which I learned from here. Again, as I mentioned before, I am a graduate of the Afro-American Studies program, and I'm sure a lot of you probably only know that program through the recent scandal. And again, I'm not here to refute or nitpick any of the findings in the report, because what happened is a travesty for the university, but for this particular program specifically. But what I do want to do is just give you a different perspective of the program from my experience, and that I think is probably representative of most students who take classes in that department, and not just people who graduate with that degree, but students from all over campus who come to take classes in that program just to learn a little bit more about African history or the Afro-American experience. And for me, you know, it was just an eye-opening experience as a young African-American woman from a rural area in North Carolina, where you didn't know a lot about African history, African-American history in particular. And this program was a platform for students, and again, not just black students, but white students, Latino students, Asian students, to learn about the history, the contributions, and the continued need for the African-American experience to be voiced in this country. And so it gave a lot of us students who took those classes a sense of identity, a sense of pride in where we had come before, you know, just slavery. Because again, a lot of us, that was all we knew of what our history was when African Americans came here to this country. But we had a history, you know, centuries before that, you know, very brief moment in our collective history. And so when I was here, I heard from phenomenal professors. I mean, I was here when Sonia Haynes Stone was still here. I was here when Floyd Elson was here. I was here when Lee Green was here. Colin Palmer was here. Harold Woodard, who I'm very sad to hear is leaving the university, when he was a professor in that department. And so we were able to get just a rich and robust education and take that on to the various fields that we are all into. I mean, we have people who have come through that program who are politicians, who are historians, who are actors, who are writers, who are activists in the community. And because of the education that we received from that program, we are out now making change in this world. And so I'm very proud to be a graduate of Afro-American Studies Department. And despite, you know, the recent all of the notoriety that the program has gotten, it still is a wonderful program and a feature of this university, and I want to make sure that we all remember that. And again, I'll move on and talk about a great experience that I had. It was a study abroad program that Professor Harold Woodard started. Again, I think it was the first year that Carolina had done a summer study abroad program to Africa, and we went for 6 weeks over the summer to Togo. And did a program. It was a joint program with NC State and I think the University of Michigan. We had about 18 students that went. It's my first trip out of the United States, and I remember telling my mother, she was asking me for telephone numbers, where we're going to be, and I want to call you. I was like, don't call my mom. I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks. Don't call. I'm going to be fine. I've never been out of the country. I'm going to, you know, somewhere you've never even heard of, but don't call me. And I have a six-year-old now, and I can't imagine ever her saying that to me. But, you know, me being the independent person I was like, oh, I'm going to be fine, don't call. But it was actually again, traveling, I think, anywhere is a wonderful opportunity for students, but this in particular was great for me, not just because it was in West Africa, but because it was, you know, it was a structured program, but it was in such, it was so far beyond what I could have ever thought I would be doing. And so, again, it just expanded my horizons on where I could make a contribution, where I could be. I mean, there were professors from the United States that were working there, and it just opened possibilities for me that I had not ever dreamed of. And so, again, that was a highlight for my my time during Chapel Hill. I was very involved with service types of programs. I was a member of the Black Student Movement, where we did a lot of community service activities. I was a member of the gospel choir. I used to think I could sing a long time ago. Nobody told me I couldn't until after school. I was a tutor for elementary school students, just very involved in service, again, which I just got from meeting people here and learning that that's part of what your responsibility is as a contributing member of society is to give back. I think the most lasting thing that I have gotten from Carolina is just the friendships that I've made. I mean, as I mentioned before, someone that I met 28 years ago, I just had dinner with last night, and through Facebook, and even before Facebook, but Facebook in particular has allowed me to reconnect with people that I knew at Chapel Hill and would see on a daily basis, and it just, again, enriches what continues to be my love affair with Carolina. So since graduation, I have, again, continued to be involved with Carolina as much as I can. I was a participant in, you know, a few Carolina clubs in D.C. and in Philadelphia, the Black Alumni Reunion. I'm also a participant in the Carolina Alumni Admissions Program, and I don't know if you are familiar with that, but I mean, just like the GAA staff here, admissions officers can't be everywhere at all times, and they ask alumni to sometimes participate in career fairs. And so I've done that, and I did it in D.C., I do it in Pennsylvania, but also when I was in London, I participated in an international college fair for Carolina and just was able to, again, talk to interested students who want to hear about Carolina. And, it, you know, as you can tell, it's easy for me to talk about how wonderful this university is and try to get students who might not ever have the opportunity to come and visit campus personally to hear, you know, from me about what Carolina has to offer and how such a rewarding and enriching place that it can be. So, again, I just participating on this board has allowed me to, again, stay involved, stay informed, and stay connected with Carolina. I hope to keep doing this however I can and keep learning about the phenomenal things that Carolina is doing. I mean, last meeting we heard about the School of Pharmacy. Today we heard about the School of Media and Journalism. And be able to share that with people. Up rising students, I have a niece and nephew that are Carolina students now, and just continue to spread the word and keep Carolina going as the amazing university that it is. One last story that I want to tell is that that'll show how near and dear Carolina is to me. I had some plumbing issues a few months ago, and I sent an email out to some folks in my neighborhood for recommendations for a plumber. And so, you know, most sent back the same one or two names of plumbers, and then one other neighbor sent back a referral. She was like, this guy, he's very good. You know, it's just a one-man show. His name is Dean Smith. And I was like, that's it. my plumber, as you now know, is Dean Smith. So anyway, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you today.